This is the Shore Sports Network. WOBM Lakewood Township. WADP Asbury Park. Listen online at WOBMAM.com. Good Time Oldies. WOBMAM 1160 and 1310.
Welcome to Monmouth University Football on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Today's game is powered by Coke Zero. Football-related chest bumps, high fives, and trash talk brought to you by Coke Zero. Enjoy everything. The NJEA, making public schools great for every child. Atlantic Physical Therapy Center, with five locations in the Shore area, helping to get you back in the game. The Penalty Box Cafe at the Jersey Shore Arena in Farmingdale, featuring laser tag, arcade, and birthday parties. First Atlantic Federal Credit Union, Barnabas Health, Sonic, America's Drive-In, and the Asbury Park Press. This is the Monmouth Hawks Radio Network, a production of Monmouth University Department of Athletics. Let's head down to the field and join Matt Harmon and Eddie Iacopinti for all of today's action.
And a very good morning to you from Moon Township, Pennsylvania, Joe Walton Stadium. This is the season finale 2012 for Monmouth University football here on the Shore Sports Network. Broadcasting as we always do on 1160, 1310 AM, ShoreSportsNetwork.com, along with GoMUHawks.com. Matt Harmon back here from Western Pennsylvania, along with Monmouth Sports Information Director for the football team, Greg Buscomi, filling in with Eddie Iacopinti. We've got a busy day of Monmouth athletics for you today. Our football game today will lead you in to the Monmouth men's basketball broadcast, which is set to tip at 3 o'clock. Hawks try to go to 2-1 as they will square off against the Bronx of Ryder in Lawrenceville, New Jersey. The business at hand, however, for MU today on the gridiron is to finish up the season on a high note. They come into this one 4-5, 3-3 in the Northeast Conference. They take on a Colonial team that is 4-6 and 3-4. And as I say, good morning, shortly to be good afternoon to the gentleman to my left, Greg Buscomi. Greg, first of all, for this Monmouth team, it has been certainly a tale, really, of multiple seasons, I think. You know, after a 3-1 start to the year, things looking on the up, and then that three-game losing streak, they bounce back with a big win over Duquesne when they were out here in the Pittsburgh area, have the game against Central get canceled, a very disappointing game a week ago to St. Francis, Pennsylvania. So I think the question on everyone's mind coming into this one is, how motivated is this football team for the last game of the year?
I think sitting around, being around the team for the last week and meetings last night over in the hotel, I think they're very motivated. I mean, there's a number of seniors here that are trying to close out their careers with a win. Coach Callahan, obviously, and the coaching staff want to get back to 500. You know, not the result that anybody really wanted or expected heading into week one at Lehigh, even heading into week two after a good game against Lehigh. But you got to play the games you have left, and I think if they go out here today and they take care of business, this is a very beatable RMU team, but a very difficult RMU team as well.
Well, let's look at Robert Morris just a little bit. They also have had a season basically split in half. They started off their year 1-5, a lone win against Lafayette in the first six games of the year, and then they've turned it on as of late. They beat Central Connecticut State on the 20th of October, lost to Wagner, as just about everyone has, short of Monmouth, on the 27th, but back-to-back wins, one against Duquesne here at home, last week against Sacred Heart, a game that was a thrilling game, come-from-behind win for RMU, and they finish up here against the Monmouth team, which they have certainly had their number as of late. They've won three straight in the series overall.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, if you go back to 3 years ago, they came out and basically just took that game in West Long Branch 23-9. Then 2 years ago, myself and was on the call with you, and that's where we had Monmouth had two shots to kick a field goal to win it at the end of the game and an extra point right before that to tie the game, and unfortunately they missed both. One was blocked, so they lost 17-16. And then last year, Monmouth led basically the entire game, had it all wrapped up, and had a procedure penalty at 12 men on the field late in the fourth quarter, which gave Robert Morris first down, and they went down and scored with Shadre King with a second touchdown, the very talented tight end. Good news is he's gone, but that's three in a row, and Mom's definitely got to turn this around, and they've been two very close games.
Well, you mentioned Shondre King. He was such a great player here for Robert Morris, and as you did say, he is gone. One guy that is still around. I think we've got a fascinating quarterback battle today. Two guys who have basically run their program for the last 4 years. We'll start first with Jeff Sinclair, the senior for Robert Morris.
Yeah, Sinclair, talking with Coach Callahan this morning, they don't ask him to do a whole lot. They don't ask him to make a lot of reads like Kyle Frazier does, but what they do ask him to do is manage the game. Don't turn the ball over a lot, which he does not, and he makes a lot of plays with his feet. Coach Callahan said one of the keys that this defense is going to have is keeping him in the pocket and getting him on the ground. The Robert Morris offensive line is weaker in the center and the guard, so expect a lot of pressure up the middle. Expect those D tackles, Chris Luma, Mike Upham, to have a good game. And they got to keep Sinclair in the pocket and not allow him to get out and hurt him with feet. He's got 11 first downs with his feet alone.
His number is a little bit skewed this year because he has only played in 8 of the 10 games, nicked up a couple of times during the course of the year. But he comes in 101-208 on the season for just over 1,400 yards. He has thrown for 13 touchdowns. He has run for 3 more on the ground. And he kind of mimics Kyle Frazier in that he is a run-pass option. We've seen Kyle kind of develop that part of his game the last couple of years. But Frazier coming in with another great season. He's had some fourth-quarter problems which have hurt Monmouth. But in terms of his overall numbers, he's the best right now in the league in terms of quarterbacks.
Yeah, definitely. And he is. We talked about this a little bit on the bus on the way up. There's nobody in the league that you'd rather have under center in the shotgun, as in Monmouth's case. He's got to make good decisions against this Robert Morris team. In his career, in 3 games against Robert Morris, he's thrown 3 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. It's really only one of 2 teams that he's thrown a lot of interceptions against, Albany being the other. So, you know, I think having a lead going into the fourth quarter will definitely help Kyle not to pressure some throws, not to feel like he's got to do it all himself. So if the Hawks can take a lead late in the game and let Kyle manage the game and have a little bit of time and make some throws, I think they'll be fine.
It's a passing attack that leads the NEC, Monmouth does. They have a dynamic offense, which at times has been just that, explosive. There's been times maybe that they haven't been able to get that big play when they've really needed it. But as you look at the season overall, I mean, some of the numbers that they have put up, 41 against Rhode Island, 38 against Wagner, 38 to Cornell in a loss, and 28 against Duquesne, and even last week 31 against St. Francis, Pennsylvania. Scoring points has not been a problem, but defensively, Monmouth has struggled certainly the last few weeks.
Yeah, definitely, and they've just been hampered by injuries. Depth for, it seems like, the third straight year we're talking about depth on defense has been an issue. You know, up front they've been okay. Haven't gotten the production as far as pass rushing that they thought they would have gotten by some of the guys. The linebackers got a little nicked up with Anthony McDonough, the freshman, sitting out a few games with a concussion. Obviously, he's back in full go. Bill Louch, just a leader on this defense, he missed a couple of games with a foot injury. He's back, not 100%. He's going to play about half the snaps at that outside linebacker position. And then the secondary has been decimated by injuries, none bigger than the loss of Elijah Phillips at cornerback. So, you know, it's going to be up to young Joe Johnson. It's going to be at corner. You know, Reggie Hildebrand Jr. had a great game against Duquesne, knocked down 2 touchdowns. It'll be interesting to see what happens with these 2 cornerbacks on an explosive 2 wideouts that Rob Morris has in Jeter.
We step out here for a quick timeout. We'll come back in 2 minutes. We'll set the coaching matchup for you and get you set for the opening kickoff of the season finale here in 2012. You're listening to Monmouth Football on the Shore Sports Network.
Hi again, everybody. I'm Paul Dottino with the NEC Notebook presented by Choice Hotels. To learn how you can save 15% on your next stay, visit northeastconference.org and click on the corporate partners link. Wagner running back Dominique Williams is the NEC Offensive Player of the Week. He helped the Seahawks to their 7th straight win with 224 total yards and 2 TDs in a 31-30 win over Holy Cross of the Patriot League. Robert Morris safety Cameron Chadwick is the defensive pick. He came up with 9 tackles, 2 interceptions, and a pass breakup against Sacred Heart. St. Francis wide receiver Dane Domonkos is the special teams player of the week. His 97-yard kickoff return for a touchdown to stun Monmouth ties a conference record and is the NEC's longest in 8 years. The rookie pick is teammate and running back Anthony Abid. He carried 18 times for 119 yards and a touchdown. Remember, the NEC champion earns an automatic bid to the NCAA playoffs. The selection show is at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday the 18th, on ESPNU, with first-round action on November the 24th. Don't forget to follow us at northeastconference.org.
Follow Hawks football all season long on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and shoresportsnetwork.com.
Final weekend of league play, as you just heard in our NEC notebook from Paul Dottino. It is obviously an extremely big week this week with the regular season championship still up for grabs. Albany at 6-1, Wagner at 6-1. The rest of the league schedule as it shakes out this week: Duquesne playing at Wagner, Sacred Heart at St. Francis, Pennsylvania, Central Connecticut State at Albany, and Bryant will play in the lone non-league game of the weekend against Bucknell. What has to happen is Wagner controls their own destiny. If they win, they will represent the Northeast Conference in the FCS playoffs. Albany needs to beat Central Connecticut State and hope that Duquesne can upset Wagner. Our game getting closer to kickoff here. Robert Morris coming in at 4-6, 3-4 in league play. Monmouth 4-5, 3-3. The Hawks will play one less game than everyone else will in the league this year because of that Central Connecticut State game being postponed. Obviously, the Blue Devils in the same situation. Our pregame show today presented by First Atlantic Federal Credit Union. Visit FAFCU.com to learn why First Atlantic is the better way to bank. Greg, before we went to break, you mentioned Monmouth has been banged up a little bit with some of the injuries. Anyone key that we will not see today? I know you mentioned Bill Louch. We'll see half of the snaps, maybe a couple other guys banged up, as a lot of guys are at this point of the season.
Yeah, I mean, defensive end Rich Lorfing banged up his knee a little bit in practice. He's a game-time decision. Pete Nagy took a knee to the thigh. He's got a deep thigh bruise or a contusion. He's going to be a game-time decision, so you might see Joe Johnson returning kicks. Bill Louch, we talked about with the foot, and Tyler George has been bothered by a knee injury as well. Look to him to get about 15, 20 snaps, and then Mike McLafferty and Evan Ruane carry the load from there on out.
Our injury report is presented by Barnabas Health. Premier healthcare is one click away at barnabashealth.org. Barnabas Health, every day extraordinary. Our coaching matchup, an interesting one. Two longtime head coaches for their respective programs. Kevin Callahan, obviously, in his 20th year here at MU, 113-91 coming in. And Robert Morris, a year behind, 19 years now for Joe Walton. He comes in 109-85-1 in the series matchup. The Colonials holding the edge 10-7. They have won the last three, including a one-point win 2 years ago out here at now what is called Joe Walton Stadium. And it is kind of interesting, Greg, because these programs do very much mimic each other. Mama started in 1993. Robert Morris started in 1994. They've basically been rivals ever since. Didn't play in 2001, but have played every other year that Robert Morris has had football.
Yeah, of course, that 2001 was the game that was September 11th, so games were canceled. You know, Monmouth has five NEC championships. That is second only to Robert Morris's six NEC championships, the last of which came in 2010. I know Coach Walton and Coach Callahan are good friends, and I know Coach Walton reached out to Coach Callahan about starting a program a year after, you know, Coach Callahan has, and they've had some great battles. I mean, they showed film of the Miracle at Moon from 2004 up the road at Mount Moon Township High School, where Miles Austin actually tipped the ball in the last second to Timmy Hiltwine, who caught it in the end zone, and the Hawks walked out with a two-point win in the last play of the game. So there's been some great games between these two teams.
Walton, of course, the former New York Jet head coach for six seasons. He is a longtime Pittsburgh guy, two-time All-American, played tight end at the University of Pittsburgh before just about a decade-long career in the NFL. Our coin toss going on right now, that is presented by Coca-Cola Zero. The Hawks get a taste of forward progress, and so can you with Coke Zero, the only drink to combine real Coke taste and zero calories. So grab one now and taste forward progress with Coca-Cola Zero. Enjoy everything. Monmouth looks like they will receive the football. I know you were watching. Did we win the toss?
Monmouth won the toss and elected to receive, which is something they have not done all year. The previous two times they had won the toss, they deferred to the second half. So apparently Coach Callahan thinks a fast start, which he preaches all the time, is important, and try to get the guys out.
Robert Morris will be in their home blue uniforms today. The Colonial team has not quite taken the field. They walk down the steps from the top of the bleachers here. Kind of a cool little entrance that they do right through the middle of the fans and down the middle of the bleachers. You know, probably a good 30 or 40 steps down on the field. It is a turf field here at Robert Morris. Our game time temperature set right in the high 40s. It's a pretty nice day considering it's mid to late November out in western Pennsylvania. Not much of a wind or breeze to speak of. So the Colonials in their home blues, blue pants, blue jerseys, white numerals with the white helmets and the Colonial insignia on either side. Monmouth will be in their away white jerseys, white pants, blue numerals, and the midnight blue helmets with a white MU on either side. A special day in what has been an up-and-down year, as for a lot of guys on the Monmouth side, it will be the last time they ever suit up and play football.
Yeah, there are a number of fifth-year seniors, a lot of fifth-year seniors that are key players on this team. Kyle Frazier, Dino Molina, Mike Murphy, you know, Chris Luma up front on the defensive line, Mike Upham, Reggie Hildebrand Jr., Bill Louch at linebacker. So there are some key players, and as you should do if you're running a program right, you should have a lot of fifth-year senior starters by the time they're playing their last game. And I think definitely, you know, it means a lot to these guys. And I know Kyle and the offense and obviously the defense want to go out on top. So hopefully they have a little spark. You know, Monmouth all-time is 12-7 in regular season finales, which is not a bad mark. And the only time they faced Robert Morris was in 2009. As I mentioned before, that was a 23-9 setback. So they're 0-1 in regular season finales against the Colonials.
And what you are looking for, I think, if you're Monmouth, and some people would probably say, oh, you win today, you finish 500, big deal. Well, for a program that has had three consecutive losing seasons like Monmouth, I think it is a big deal because you do not want to have four in a row. And as I talked to Coach Callahan on our Tuesday night show this past week, to me at least, 5-5 sounds much better than 4-6.
Oh, definitely. And you know what? It's disappointing because they had a, you know, you lose the Albany game, you lose Cornell, you know, defensively just didn't show up that game. You know, you lost to a ranked Lehigh team. You know, those are all losses that are don't kill you. You know, you go out and you beat a good Wagner team, but then you lose to Bryan, who's got two very good playmakers on offense, and then they lose to St. Francis PA, who, by the way, has turned it around and been very, very good as of late, and the best St. Francis PA team I've seen in 7 years doing this. You know, that's not how they envision the second half of the season going. You don't get to play Central. You know, who knows what would have happened in that game. So I think this is a big game, and ending 5-5 is really big when you've lost three in a row. Impacts everything, you know, from morale down to recruiting.
Greg Langer, the senior place kicker, will put the ball at the left hash mark and will kick it away. Four players off to his right, and six the other side. Back deep is Pete Nagy, who will return this kick. Actually, it'll be Hayes to field it from the 12-yard line. Out to the 25, rides his way out to the 28, where it will be first down and 10 for Monmouth. The Hawks under the direction, as they have been the last four seasons, of now fifth-year senior Kyle Frazier. 6'3", 225-pounder from Maryland. The Hawks up front with their regular five. Brandon Maxwell and Mike Murphy start at tackle. Josh Patterson and Dino Molina start at guard. Mike Hunchek is the senior center. Looking for the skill guys to come out. It will be Tyler George to start at the tight end spot today, and Julian Hayes back at the running back position. And three wide receivers to get the call today: Lamar Davenport, Eric Sumlin, and Tristan Roberts. It is a 3-4 defense that Robert Morris runs. We'll go through their starters in just a second. On first and 10 from the 29-yard line, it'll be Hayes to get the carry, lowering the shoulder, getting good forward progress out to the 34. 5-yard pickup to bring up second and 5. Nolan Nierhoof and Steve Mitchell, the ends. Farron Mason is the nose man. Brad Bannis and Mark Cetafonte are the outside linebackers. Mike Cook and Luke Mueller, the two inside guys. Marcellus Branch and Antoine Eddie, the corners. DJ Myers and Cameron Chadwick are the two safeties.
One thing I look for the Hawks to do is pick up the tempo on offense. The players went back to Coach Van Zyl and said, we feel like we have an advantage when we're almost running a hurry-up, and they're going to try to get the plays in a lot quicker today.
Hayes off to the left. Frazier wants to throw. He will find Davenport at the 42-yard line, and Lamar able to pounce forward and pick up five more to the 46, where it will be first down and 10 for Monmouth. Not quite a minute into this one. No score. This is the opening possession of the season finale. Stay tuned after our game today. We will lead you right to Monmouth basketball. Hawks taking on Ryder. First and 10, Sumlin and Roberts up top to the sideline left. Hayes stretching it out to the right side into the open field at the 40-yard line. Spins, cuts back into the 35. On his feet to the 30. He's got a blocker now in front of him. It's Frazier at the 20, 15, 10, 5. Hayes dives forward, gets run out of bounds at the 2-yard line. What a run for Julian Hayes. And how about Kyle Frazier downfield throwing the block that sprung him for an extra 20 yards.
Great blocking by the wide receiver Tristan Roberts when Hayes decided to cut it backfield at around the RMU 40. Roberts came and cracked back on somebody. Then all of a sudden you look up, is it Kyle Frazier's last game as a Hawk? Definitely is, because he ran all the way down the field, threw a block on number 20 for the cornerback for Robert Morris and set up the first and goal from the 3.
First and goal now here for the Hawks. Frazier wants to throw fade pattern, looking for Roberts. All kinds of contact. No flag comes out. It will go as an incompletion and set up second down and goal from the 2-yard line. 13:30 to play in the first quarter. Hayes with that electric run has Monmouth knocking on the door for the first score of the day.
Yeah, I think the Hawk coaching staff thought that Monmouth would be able to win on the running back at linebacker position. The linebackers are a little bit weak this year for Robert Moore's standards.
Hayes has it here. Hayes off the left side. Hayes into the end zone for a touchdown. Monmouth up 6-0. They take the opening drive and score very easy. A quick scoring drive results in Julian Hayes punching it in for the 10th time this year via the rush, and the Hawks lead it 6-0.
That's Julian's 10th touchdown of the season. That moves him up to 8th all-time in single season, and he's only 4 off of where he ended up last year, and we thought that was a spectacular year. So Hawks off to a quick start. It only took them 5 plays to get a touchdown.
Here's Eric Spillane on for the extra point. We'll work out of the hold of fifth-year senior Craig Peterson. That's just the start that Monmouth was hoping for. Good snap, good hold. Kick is up, and the kick is good. Monmouth 7, Robert Morris nothing. I guess the decision to not defer and take the football working out pretty well for the head coach of MU, Kevin Callahan. We step out for 30 seconds. We're back right after this quick timeout. You're listening to Monmouth University Football on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and shoresportsnetwork.com.
Stay connected with Monmouth University Athletics through a variety of social media outlets like Monmouth University Athletics on Facebook, follow at MU Hawks on Twitter, and visit youtube.com/Monmouth Hawks for videos with MU coaches, players, and more. You can find every social media page associated with Monmouth University Athletics in one place at gomuhawks.com/connect. Stay connected with the Hawks and join the conversation online. Matt Harmon back here from Joe Walton Stadium along with Greg Viscomi. Hawks taking the opening kickoff and rumbling right down the field, set up by a Julian Hayes long run. Hayes punching it in from 2 yards out to give MU a 7-0 advantage. Here is Lucas Santangelo on to kick off. Puts the ball in the middle of the field at the 35-yard line. A wobbly kick that will trickle its way back to the 5-yard line, fielded by Brian Jones. Jones gets out over the 20-yard line, hit hard, and that tackle made with a flag that has now come out at the 23-yard line. Working down the field was Jake Morrow covering on special teams. I have to check the penalty. That came out pretty late. Monmouth signaling it is against Robert Morris. While we have a second, let's run through the starters for RMU. They will start at the tackles Alex Kirsch and Nate Hargraves, John Hill and Maxwell Robertson, the guards. Nick Forchese is the center. Jeff Sinclair gets the start at quarterback. He's been a longtime Colonial. Evan Taylor and Nick Grote, the two running backs. The starting wide receivers, the sophomore Dwayne Mitchell and the very talented Dante Jeter, who is just a junior, and Paul Evans, the redshirt senior, starts at the tight end spot. Was an illegal block on Robert Morris, which Monmouth accepts, and it will pin RMU back to their own 12-yard line, where they will have it first and 10. We'll check the Monmouth starters after this play. Five-man front for the Hawks. They walk up loud to the outside linebacker spot. Here is the give to Taylor off the left side, stop shy of the 15-yard line. Lounch and Sullivan among those on the tackle. The starters today for Monmouth defensively, Chris Lumen, Pat O'Hara, the defensive ends, Mike Upham and Brad Harris get the start at the defensive tackle spots. The linebacking core, Dave Demersion, Bill Lounch, and Dan Sullivan, the three starters today. Joe Johnson at one corner, Reggie Hildebrandt Jr. the other. The safeties, Pat Gray and Andrew Sutton. Second down and Let's call it a long seven. It's the give to Taylor again off the right side. And again, he is stacked up at the line of scrimmage for a minimal game. Hildebrandt Jr. in on that tackle. Our starting lineups today brought to you in part by Rooney's Oceanfront Restaurant. Rooney's Oceanfront is open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner and features one of the area's best ocean views. Visit them online at rooneysocean.com.
This is one of those third down situations where they got to keep Sinclair in the pocket, try to get some pressure. I wouldn't be surprised to see some kind of blitz by the Hawks.
Eric Masick has come in. Double tight end set for Robert Morris. Sinclair wants to throw it back. In trouble and will get dropped. Football popped out as well. Robert Morris will keep it. Great pressure applied that time by the Hawks. They did bring just four. They didn't really blitz anybody, but some great pass rush put on that time by MU.
What you did see was Bill Louch sat over the top of Sinclair, kind of spied him to make sure he couldn't get out of the pocket, and he held onto the ball, and Mike Upham came up with a strip sack, which was recovered by the back, I believe.
Fourth down and eight, and on to punt it away, Tony Lamancusa. Back deep, Jamison Zacharias. Monmouth with some pressure there. Zacharias will field it, going backwards at the 43-yard line, comes forward to midfield. Needed one more broken tackle to spring a longer return, but instead we'll take it to the Monmouth 49-yard line. Great field position here for the Hawks. That tackle was made by Luke Mueller, and this is exactly what Monmouth could order up. A touchdown on the first drive, and 51 yards away from another score here with 11:27 remaining, and the Hawks already leading 7-0.
Definitely. I think it's going to be important for them to get points on this drive. Got to jump out to a fast start so that you can make Robert Morris come back. Coach Callahan didn't think that they were able to put together very long drives all year long, and if you can bury them and make them have long drives and make them come all the way back, might be able to get a win here.
Hayes will get it off left tackle. Gets into Robert Morris territory to the 49-yard line, gain of two. We'll bring up a second and eight. That tackle by Stephen Mitchell.
Good job by the RMU front seven there. Got pushed off the line, that left side of the line, Murphy and Patterson. Got a good push, but then the linebackers in the secondary came up to fill and didn't allow Hayes to get out and really break another one.
Mike McLafferty has checked in at the tight end spot. I formation sent to the right of Frazier. Here's Roberts on the jet sweep around the right end to the 45-yard line, maybe cracked into the 44.5. That will go as a gain of just about 3.5 yards and leave Monmouth with a third down and four coming up. That scoring drive for MU, by the way, we just got the stats handed to us. 5 plays, 71 yards, took up just a minute 34 off the clock. Ball set here, the official spot, the Robert Morris 44. Monmouth needs a good solid 4 yards here for a first down and keep the offense on. Three wide receivers set on the slant pattern. Neil Sterling will make the catch at the 35-yard line. He'll fall forward to the 34 and will have a first down on a gain of about 11.
And there's Sterling nursing that ankle injury he got on the second day of camp. Hasn't had the year that everybody expected him to have, but don't sleep on him. He's got tons of first down catches and leads the team with 5 touchdown receptions as well.
30th catch of the year for Sterling. Team leader coming in was Tristan Roberts. First and 10 now for Monmouth. Hayes will get it, stretching it off to the left side, picks his spot and breaks the play into the 30-yard line, gets to the 29. That goes as a gain of 5, 5.5, and boy, if you're getting good chunks of yards on first down, Greg, that just opens the playbook up.
Well, I think what you're going to see pretty soon is a couple more big runs, 5, 7-yard runs by Julian Hayes. Here comes play action, and then you're looking for Tristan over the top, Neil Sterling, maybe Mike McLafferty coming up the scene. I wouldn't be surprised to see a play-action pass here coming soon.
Sterling near sideline to the right. Roberts in motion from left to right. Counterplay up the middle for Hayes. Stop shy of the 25-yard line and just shy of another first down. New little wrinkle in the offense that time off the jet sweep motion. It will leave Monmouth with a third down and just about two as George will check back in. So the Hawks will go double tight end package. George on one side, Mike McLafferty on the other.
That counter was just put in this week. They thought they could take advantage of the outside linebackers playing a little too over-aggressive.
Roberts slot to the right. Sterling wide guy to the right. Hayes the single back. Hayes will get it. Big hole up the middle. He's going to have plenty for the first down. stopped right around the 20-yard line on a gain of just about five. The offensive line right now getting some very good push.
Well, the defense, basically they've had 2 weeks to prepare for this defense because it's the same exact defense that St. Francis PA ran last week. The St. Francis Pennsylvania defensive coordinator spent 9 years here at Robert Morris on the defensive side of the ball. So they've had 2 weeks to prepare basically to run the ball here.
Frazier on first and 10. Stops, throws, another slant reception hauled in by Sterling, who will take it down inside the 15 to the 13-yard line. That goes as a gain of eight, and it will leave Monmouth with a third down and two. Seemingly, at least right now, Monmouth can do anything they want offensively.
Yeah, and that was two great slants to Neal. I mean, not a play that the Hawks throw a whole lot. And, you know, I talk with Jeff Stapleton, associate AD, and he always wonders, why don't we throw the slant to Tristan? Why don't we throw the slant to Neal? Well, you got a game plan for what the defense is giving you, and right now Neal's caught two big slants.
Second and two. It'll be Hayes off the left side. Cuts back to the far side hash mark. Rumbles down inside the 10-yard line. Gets to the eight. Will set up Monmouth with a first and goal. The first of what the over-under. I think we set the over-under every game around three for Jeff Stapleton references, so we've hit one already today.
I did not know that, but
nobody else really knew that. That's just in my own head. Eddie likes to refer to him oftentimes.
Well, he is the Lord. But I think Julian Hayes got to be getting close to 100 yards now. He had 58 on the first drive alone.
First down and goal from the eight. Frazier wanting to throw. Patient, now flush in the pocket, and will get sacked. Taken down around the 10-yard line, held the football for a long time. Nolan Nierhoof comes through and gets that sack. It will leave Monmouth with a second and goal from the RMU 10.
And Nierhoof is RMU's all-time sack leader, very good player. I don't know if he's going to have a push for Defensive Player of the Year, but he's going to be up there, definitely going to be a first-team All-NEC player. And really, that sack you can attribute to the coverage. Tristan Roberts was around the C in Colonial, about 8 yards deep, and just couldn't get away from coverage, and that's where Kyle was trying to go with the ball.
7 minutes remaining. Monmouth trying to add to a 7-0 lead. Here's Frazier. Zone option read off the left side. He'll load the shoulder and take it out of bounds on the far sideline. Get to about the 3-yard line. Goes as a gain of seven. We'll leave the Hawks here with a third down and goal from the Colonial 3-yard line.
And a nice thing about that play is Frazier has three options. He can give it to Julian Hayes or the back to go up the middle. He can come out and keep it himself like he did, or he can throw the ball to Tristan Roberts if the corner decides to come off Roberts and attack the pitch man.
Sumlin and Sterling, formation to the right. Roberts up top to the left on third down here in goal. Shovel pass to the inside. McLafferty caught it and then just got rocked as he came across the line. Chris Thompkins comes through and makes the tackle. That was a big-time hit laid on there for Robert Morris, and it will leave Monmouth with a loss of one and a fourth and goal, and on will come Eric Spillane for the field goal.
Really looked like McLafferty didn't expect to see so much penetration. Josh Patterson got pushed way back into the backfield, right into when McLafferty caught the ball from Kyle Frazier, and unfortunately Hawks are going to come away with a 10-for-3 here.
Spillane, 10 of 13 on the season. Low snap handled well by Peterson. That kick is up, and it is good. We'll get Monmouth on the board. They've got 10. Robert Morris with nothing. 5:53 to go here in the first quarter. We step out for 30 seconds. We're back with more Hawk football right after this quick timeout on the Shore Sports Network.
Follow Hawks football all season long on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com.
Our broadcast today brought to you in part by University Subs. University Subs has been a neighborhood favorite for years. Located on the corner of Larchwood Avenue and Wall Street, USubs offers free delivery to the Monmouth dorms, and all MU students receive 10% off of their total order. Visit them online at myusubs.com. Matt Harmon, Greg Viscomi back here from Joe Walton Stadium in Moon Township, Pennsylvania. Hawks with a quick start here to this one. They lead it 10-0. Over Robert Morris, trying to break out of a three-game losing streak to the Colonials and finish up their year with a .500 record. That last three-pointer from Spillane, a 21-yard field goal, 12-play, 47-yard drive that took up 5 minutes and 34 seconds on the clock. Brian Jones back deep. Santangelo kicked a little bit away from him last time and will make him run over to the sideline, where Jones will pick it up at the 5-yard line and run into a wall of white at the 15. Great coverage down the field. Thought for a second he might let the football go out of bounds, but didn't want to risk maybe it staying in, and he pays the price on a 10-yard return.
Bad decision by Jones. If he would have let it stay in, it would have rolled into the end zone and been an automatic touchback. Worst comes to worst, to get the ball to 40. Instead, if he picks it up, Nick Carroll, sophomore out of Bath, New York, comes down, makes a nice play, gets around his blocker, and wraps him up, and now they got to start on their own 15.
Checking in and running the offense here again is Sinclair. He's got Nick Grote and Evan Taylor in the backfield. Motion across the formation from Dante Jeter. Sinclair wanting to throw. Jeter open at the 19-yard line, comes forward to the 22, maybe out to the 23. Tackle made by Sutton and Johnson. The coverage applied that time by Joe Johnson, who played a little soft that time and gave the easy 5-yard out and three more on top of that for a second and two coming up for Robert Morris.
Yeah, I think they're going to give Jeter that kind of space, too. He's their home run hitter. He's got 33 catches and 603 yards coming into today's game. He has got 22 of his 33 catches, pardon me, for a first down. That's a pretty good average if you're throwing the ball.
Five touchdowns on the year. Here's the give to Taylor. Hit in the backfield and will be dropped.
Great job by Chris Luma. He made the first contact, and he scooped, and then in comes Sullivan and Pat O'Hara to clean it up.
Great interior pressure that time by Luma. He was one of our four guests the other night on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. Among some of those guys playing their last ever football game, certainly for Luma, he is a fifth-year senior, and those guys certainly trying to make it count here today. On third down, and let's call it four for Robert Morris, coming up on 4.5 minutes remaining in this first quarter. Hawks lead at 10-0. Dwayne Mitchell in motion. Sinclair play action into the flat. He's got a man. Deontay Howard will catch it and then get dragged down from the backside by Pat Gray. Not going to be enough for a first down. That was excellent coverage and good closing speed applied by Gray.
Yeah, it was good recognition by Pat Gray. They tried to run everybody out with Dante Jeter kind of running in a post route and then get the ball underneath for the first down, and Gray just recognized it right away and was able to hawk him down and drag him.
La Mancusa on to punt it away. He'll step into it about his own 10-yard line. Zacharias eyeing it up at his 35. Wobbly end-over-end kick. Zacharias comes forward, fields at the 42, gets hit hard at midfield, but able to hang on to the football. Another big hit applied. That one compliments of Adrian Perez, the 6'3 junior linebacker for Robert Morris.
Hawks, once again, great field position. And I'll tell you what, Zacharias did a good job catching that ball. It's the second one in a row. Not a great punt, able to catch it instead of letting it bounce and roll all the way down. Now the Hawks got a short field once again.
More impressive, he was able to hang on to the football as he was on his way down and then took a pretty good shot. Monmouth has the football exactly where they did to start the last drive, their own 49-yard line. Frazier going to work this time from the middle part of the field. KB Asante checking in for his first game action as the running back off to the left. Frazier wants to throw, has pressure in his face, throws to the far sideline. Roberts makes the catch at the 44-yard line, comes forward, gets close to a first down, down to about the 42.
So Roberts' 51st catch of the year. He is just very, very dependable. He's got the moves to get open. He's got the speed to get by guys, and he's got the hands. He almost never drops a ball.
Has to be among those in the discussion for first-team all-league, I would think.
I would hope so. I mean, if you have the league's best passing attack, you'd usually have a very good wide receiver along there.
Roberts will go this time slot to the right. Davenport as the wide guy to the right. Asante gets it, starts left, comes back to the right. Got just over the line of scrimmage. Small gain of only about a yard. Mike Cook, the middle linebacker, comes in to make the tackle. Hawks with a second and 9. 3 minutes remaining here in the first quarter. MU up 10-0.
He needs to be a little bit more patient with that. Instead of trying to bail and cut back to the backside where they're waiting for him, follow your blockers. They still got good penetration. He just needs to lower his head and go.
Tight ends either side. Same for the receivers. In the flat, Asante will make the catch into the Monmouth sideline. And we'll get forward to the 37-yard line. That goes as a gain of about 3. Tackle by Antoine Eddy. Hawks with a 3rd and 6 coming up.
I'd like to see Neil Sterling on the field here for this 3rd and 6. I don't think it's going to happen, but you know, he's just another big target that they have to respect downfield.
You're not wired into the coaching box down the other end of the press box?
No, I was able just to see Neil not stick his helmet on. So I assume that he was not getting on the field there. Still have some very dangerous wideouts in the game. 2 tight ends, though.
Split wide receiver set, Roberts and Davenport. They're into the pattern. Frazier wanting to throw, looking for Davenport, who goes up and makes the catch, but was out of bounds, went up over the top of the corner, Brian Jones, but couldn't haul it in, and will bring up a fourth down, and Monmouth in a position where I think it's four down territory. You have the ball at the 37-yard line. You're not going to punt too far for a field goal.
Yeah, you know what? If you think you're going to go for it on fourth down, maybe on third down would have called something a little intermediate, maybe get a little bit closer fourth down, but the offense has been clicking, so I don't blame Coach Callahan and Coach Van Zyl. Just go for it.
Ball sent from the left hash mark. McLafferty stand-up tight end to the left. Frazier wants to throw, looks left. He's got McLafferty at the sideline. Tiptoes on the far sideline. Hauls the catch in at the 28 for a Monmouth first down.
Not a great throw. I think Frazier was worried about somebody jumping the route, even though there was no defender. Great catch by McLafferty. Now it seems like every single game we're saying, great catch by McLafferty. Next year will be a fifth-year senior, so they still got another year out of him.
He does have excellent hands, no doubt about it. He and Evan Ruane will be that tight end combination next season. Two backs in the backfield here. Asante will get it off the left side. Breaks the plane of the line of scrimmage. Picks up maybe a yard to call it second and nine. Monmouth again getting down inside scoring position. They've been a very efficient team in the red zone so far this year. When you think about overall, they are 33 of 37 scoring. They have 25 touchdowns and 8 field goals. So just about 89% of the time when Monmouth is down inside the red zone, they will score. Asante trying to work him a little bit closer. At the 20, break to the far sideline, 15. Will get run out of bounds at the 16-yard line. Another explosive run. Asante, he and Hayes really have formed a dynamic 1-2 combination in the backfield.
Yeah, they both actually run really hard. Asante's got a little bit more power. I think Hayes is a little bit more polished just from playing all last year. You know, this is really, even though KB is a junior, this is the first year he's gotten any real work for the Hawks. It's a great 1-2 punch for Monmouth to have. Good problem to have.
For all things Jersey Shore, subscribe to the Asbury Park Press at 1-800-822-9779. Or visit app.com. Frazier here on first and 10. Wants to throw. He's got a man open. Touchdown. Tristan Roberts hauls it in. From 14 yards out, Roberts gets the score. Was wide open. Nobody within 6 yards of Roberts on any side.
Roberts had a safety with him in the corner of the end zone, and it looked like the safety had just stopped. I think there was a combination route underneath. The safety kind of bit on that. Looking at Frazier's eyes, he was towards looking at the left side of the field the whole time. All of a sudden, Roberts comes free, and the experienced Kyle Frazier knows where to put the ball, and that's Roberts, I believe, 6th touchdown of the year.
For Frazier, his 17th touchdown pass of the season. On will come Eric Spillane for the extra point. What a first quarter explosion here for MU. A point away here from making it 17 to nothing. Flag has come out, thrown by the back judge. I think the play clock may have expired there for Monmouth. And it is a delay of game call, and will make the extra point 5 yards further back than it normally would have to, but certainly well within the range of Spillane. Goes from a 20-yard PAT to a 25-yard extra point attempt.
I don't think I need to remind you that a missed PAT was the difference of the game 2 years ago. And that's the problem when you have that muddle huddle. You know, I'm not really sure the reason why the Hawks are on it. They've only run a fake out of it once in the last 7 years, but they line up and you just use that play clock.
Good snap, good hold, and a good kick. And a great first quarter for Monmouth continues along. Hawks 17, Colonials nothing. We step out for 30 seconds. We're back with more Monmouth football right after this quick timeout on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network. WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and ShoreSportsNetwork.com.
The Penalty Box Cafe at the Jersey Coast Arena on Wyckoff Road in Farmingdale with laser tag, arcade, and more. It's a great place for birthday parties, special events, corporate events. Check out their website, jerseycoastarena.com. We thank the Penalty Box Cafe for their continued support of Monmouth University Athletics. Quick hello to the guys in the bus on their way to the basketball game. Just got a quick message from our good buddy Eddie Acapinti. Says that the Hoop team listening to the football broadcast right now. We appreciate their support and wish them luck. Our game leads into that one. Tip-off set from 3 o'clock as Monmouth will try to go to 2-1 when they take on the Bronx of Ryder. Here is Lucas Santangelo to kick off. High end-over-end kick. Jones will field it from his own 3-yard line, run to the far side, have a seam out to the 25-yard line, and then get ridden down at about the 27. Host of MU players involved in on that tackle. Carroll there along with Johnson and Tyler Virgo. 49 seconds to play here in the first quarter. Greg, I'm not quite sure if your Monmouth, short of wanting 7 rather than 3 in that second drive, you could have asked for anything better.
No, this is as far as flawless as you can get. Rob Morris has gotten one first down, and that was by about 3 feet. They've done a great job on kick coverage, something that's been a concern all year. And here comes the defense, you know, first and 10.
Tight ends either side. Man in motion is Jeter from right to left in the formation. Sinclair rolls right, wants to throw left, goes over the middle, has a man. That catch is hauled in by the tight end Andrew Smith. He will make the reception right at the yard marker. This will depend on forward progress, whether he has a first down or not. Interesting design play. He started rolling right, but everybody else was going out into the formation to the left.
Almost like a naked bootleg, but then they stop. He pulls up and tries to throw a first down, which you almost got. But good coverage by the Hawks. I mean, he caught the ball, and Andrew Sutton and the other safety, Pat Gray, were on him right away to stop him.
15 seconds remaining in the quarter. Here's the pitch to the short side of the field for Evan Taylor, the junior. He's going to have just enough, I think, for the first down, likely to take us to the end of the first quarter. Taylor with decent numbers on the year, but not the biggest of guys, just 5'10", 180 pounds.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a switch-up from like when they had Miles Russ, who was a dynamic back. I think, you know, he was one of the best backs in the league during his 4 years. You know, Taylor's kind of a more grinded out guy. He's not going to burst the big, long 60-yard run against you.
Our first quarter has come to a close. We will take here a 60-second timeout. When we come back, we'll check in on the league scoreboard brought to you by Coca-Cola Zero. We do that after this. 17-0. Monmouth leads here from Joe Walton Stadium. 60-second timeout. We're back with more Hawk football on the Shore Sports Network.